Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
When you see somebody and they are lashing out and saying things and doing things, you know why they're saying it? Because somewhere they got hurt and they don't like it and they're harboring it and they're going to give it right back at it.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor continues our study of the book of 1 Peter as we turn to chapter 3 for a message called Perk Tests, Good Soil, and Luscious Fruit.
Everybody wants to enjoy a good life. Fact is, that phrase is used in this text. I want you to turn to it and think of that in light as well of an agricultural term, because there, as farmers, many times there are good years, there's good fruit, the fields are producing. So look at 1 Peter chapter 3. He starts with the word finally. In other words, he's summing it all up. And all of this is tied together. He desires every believer to live and to be able to love the good life. And the good life comes from God working in our heart to give us that heart for Him. Matthew 13, verse 23, talks about the good heart that is really good ground. He uses this as a metaphor, as an analogy. God gives us the good heart through the life of Christ, and so He's now wanting us to cultivate our life, and He wants, in essence, to test our life. And in verse 8, I think He very simply says, let me give you these three admonitions. And in verse 8 through 12, here's the admonitions. Number one, he says, is the admonition, and a good nourishment for the soil of your heart is going to come from having a good attitude. And like the soil that you can test and say, this is what's a part of this soil, Peter's kind of like, all right, let's look at the soil of your heart. Let's look at the attitude of your heart. And he gives these five very quick bullet points. Notice what he says. He says, first of all, have unity. He says it this way, be of all one mind. By the way, as one author said, it's not the same as uniformity, where there's similarity in appearance or in thinking. It's not the same as unanimity, where there is 100% agreement. And it's not the same as union, where there is an affiliation with others, but no common bond that makes them of one heart. We've said it often. You don't have to think alike, but we do have to think together. Number two, he not only says that, but he says, secondly, there is a sympathetic or a mutual interest, or he says it this way, having compassion one of another. It's the idea of sharing the same feeling. It's where we get the idea of symphony or sympathy, the Greek root word meaning to feel with. And it connotes the absence of competition or jealousy or envy. And then number three, he says, verse 8, love as brethren. That's the idea of friendship and affection. It's the mind of an affectionate friend. It's a situation which, boy, you know what? It's okay to fail because I know they're going to love me as a friend and accept me for who I am. And then he says, look at your Bible, verse 8. He says, not only love his brethren, but he says, be kind-hearted. It's the word, be pitiful. It doesn't mean you show pity, like you're on one higher level than another, but it's the idea we translate, the idea of bowels or intestines. It's the affections and emotions, the visceral impact, the word signifying a powerful kind of feeling. Christ showed that when he had compassion for those. And some have a greater capacity than others. And then also the last point he says is humility. He says, verse 8, be courteous. It's the idea of a phrase, humble in spirit or humble-minded. It's the internal attitude to the external appearance, meaning lowly or bowed in mind. It's being in a place to be gentlemanly. And humility is not just an attitude. It is works out itself in action. It's a place to say, God, this is not what I can produce out of my heart. You need to produce that in our heart. As Peter said to these believers, listen, this is the good attitude. This is the good soil. And when that's there, good things happen. I could illustrate agriculturally, but all of you would fully understand this very simply, that if a tree is going to grow great, you got to end up putting good soil. In fact, there's a good friend that helped us here in the ministry as we were doing new plantings here, and he kind of said, hey, you know, get that thing down there and compost that thing and get the best soil that you can. Man, and it was so true. And you end up putting a plant in that kind of soil that's rich and deep. Man, this thing took off like that. Now, you understand that. Then how's your attitude? How's your attitude? Because I'm going to tell you, there are times our attitudes aren't the best. A couple weeks ago, man, my attitude stunk. Man, it was towards an individual I love very much. Like, you know what? You want to be that way? I'll be that way. You said, not you, Pastor. Yeah, I'm afraid to tell you, boy. And it didn't last long, but it lasted long enough to go, you want to be that way? All right, I'll be that way. You want to have your little thing? Go ahead, I'll do my little thing. Man, I got convicted about that. I said, you know what? That is not right. I had to write a note, you know, please forgive me. Because I'm going to tell you, with the attitude is there, then I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And if it's a good attitude, then you're going to have a good response. What's the good response? Look at verse 9, if you would. This is exactly what Peter says. Having a good response. And you know what the response is? You could sum it up very simply. In forgiveness. This is how he says it. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. The very word evil is an inherent quality of badness. It's not just bad words or bad actions. It's bad. And he says the term insult is the word abusive railing against. There's a cursing. They're speaking evil of. And he says, Peter says, listen, you got good soil. You're not going to respond in kind. Just because they're after you, you go back at them. Oh, really? You got that one, buddy? I'm going to give it right back at you, big guy. I almost laugh, particularly if I'm not involved in it. I've been at intersections, as you have, and seen this. I've been in grocery stores where someone gets mad at somebody else and somebody else, and pretty soon, you know, it's like, oh, man, why say that? You're doing that, particularly if it's related to family. That's not going to come out of a good soil. It's going to come out of bad soil, a heart that he's saying, Peter's saying, then what do we give him? Notice, if you would, verse 9. Contrarize, go the opposite of what you think is going to happen. You're going to give them a blessing, is where we get the idea at a funeral of eulogizing somebody. You're giving them a blessing. And many, many times, listen to me, this is what we do to people we love the most, and they're dead, and then you start talking good about them, and they're already gone. How does that help them? It doesn't. And so he says, listen, do it while they're alive and while they're breathing. They can enjoy it. You give them a blessing, and you give them a blessing. The very verse touches all the important bases because you're giving forgiveness. Listen, forgiveness is what Peter's saying. I'm giving up my right to hurt you because you hurt me. That's forgiveness. It's the same genre of attitude in Matthew 18 when Jesus gave the idea or the story of the man that got forgiven about $1 million. And then just days later, here's a guy that owes him about $17 and the guy's ready to put him in prison for the $17. And he says, you know what? How in the world, that illustration is like you holding something small against somebody else when I just forgave you your debt load of sin for $1 million. I forgave you all of that. And you turn around and you can't even give a little forgiveness to somebody. This is the same attitude because Peter heard those stories. He's saying, listen, you don't respond that way. Hurting people hurt people. You hear us say that. When you see somebody and they are lashing out and saying things and doing things, you know why they're saying it? Because somewhere they got hurt and they don't like it and they're harboring it and they're going to give it right back at it. And Peter says, listen, your response, if it's good soil and you can be nourished, then the response is going to be, you know what? I'm going to give you a blessing. That's difficult. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you have situations just like that. And you know you're supposed to love them, but man, it's like, oh, they're unlovable. They're like porcupines. They've got a lot of fine points, but man, they're hard to get close to. And you know what Peter's solution is to this? Peter's saying, here is a good attitude. Here's a good response. Let me give you a good source. Let me give you a good foundation. This is what he says in verses 10 through 12. And very simply, he says it this way. Here's the good foundation. And he quotes Psalms 34. This is where he says, you want to have life, you want to love life, you want to see good days, And he very simply says, here's how you're going to do it. Have a controlled tongue. You want to have the fulfilled life that comes from turning away from hurting others to helping others? Then you end up, very simply, controlling your tongue. And Peter now is not just saying, okay, let me tell you my life example, although Peter now is an older man, but they knew Peter from way back in the days of the Gospels where they heard him as the loudmouth, know-it-all, say it, and then think about it later, pull the sword out, whack the dude's ear off, and then go, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Hey, it's too late, man. You cut the guy's ear off. This is the Peter that's not saying he is the source of because I said it. He's quoting Scripture. He's saying, here's exactly, if you want to love life, then a major way to accomplish this goal is to learn to control the tongue. And people have learned to refrain from gossip, from telling confidential information, from passing on unverified comments or people who are not only maturing, but people who are enhancing the quality of their lives. He says, you want to have life, you want to have Zoe, that life that connotes all the experience and richness of living to the fullest, not merely living as opposed to dying. He says, you have a controlled tongue. And in addition to that, verse 11, let them eschew evil. Let them have purity and peace. Literally, the word eschew means to hate evil. It's the idea of turning away from it and then doing good, the excellence of quality, and then seeking peace. The idea of the analogy of a hunter vigorously tracking down his prey. I'm going to hunt after anything that is peaceful because that's what's going to produce a good soil of good attitudes, responding in good responses, and I'm going to pursue peace. And all of this was the source, foundation, was Psalms 34. Notice in Psalms 34, this is where Peter pulled it out. He pulled out of Scripture. And by the way, I've had a couple of people ever so often they'll say, well, you know, you're saying the basis of what you believe is Scripture. And there's many out there that would say, well, it's not Scripture. It's what, you know, these teachings or these traditions. And this is why I personally believe the Scriptures are the sole authority for life and godliness, because this is exactly what God's Word says. And when you look at the New Testament, they keep quoting Scripture. This is exactly what Peter does. He's not saying this is my authority. He's saying this is what God says. But ultimately, we know it's his authority. Psalms 34, does this sound familiar to you? As he's quoting verse 12, what man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Peter is quoting this. And who's he quoting? Who's writing this Psalms? Look at Psalms 34 in the front end of this. Do you have a little subscription in that? Some Bibles do, some don't. This particular Bible says a Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Do you remember that story? He realizes David didn't deliver himself out of all these problems. God did. For that believer who's going to love life is not one in which he's pampered and he's sheltered like a little child on a scooter, that life is good because there's no problems. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it's one in which he experiences God's help and his blessing, his eulogy on David as he wants, as Peter wants it for us, because of life's problems and trials.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189. Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.